I'm gonna have a Super Bowl of salad when I get home. Someone had a chili cook-off, and they said, I hope I win. Not me, but they were talking to me. I said, well, that's like a Super Bowl party. He's like, well, what do you mean? I'm like, never mind. It's like a bowl of chili. It's got to be a Super Bowl. Yeah. So, and don't spiritualize the Super Bowl too much. I saw some stuff online. Let me just, before we start. You know, the Rams represent the world and the devil. Yeah. And the Patriots represent all that's good.
Oh, no. Really?
Yeah, don't do that. Just, you know, I thought if someone spent so much time just reading their Bible as they were thinking about these things, they'd be a spiritual giant, right? So just, you know, take it for what it's worth, but don't read too much into something like that. Okay, let's start in prayer. Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for your goodness and mercy. And thank you, Lord, that as we come to you, we come with hearts that are open, ears that are ready to hear, so that our lives will be transformed, that our lives will be changed, and that we will accomplish and do everything you called us to. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, so we're going to recap a couple weeks. Not the full recap, but just in part.
Yeah.
And then we're going to talk about part three. And what we're talking about is hindrances, things that hinder you from commitment. And we discovered that commitment has to do with not just deciding to do something, but an obligation, emotional energy or attachment to something. If you commit to do something, then that means you're going to do all that you can do to have that thing come to pass, right? You're going to work hard at it. You're going to remember. You know, when you get married, like when I got married, I had a new commitment in my life. My wife was committed to me, and I need to be what? Committed and dedicated and devoted and faithful and all those things to her. Well, in the scripture we looked at was Psalms 37:5, it says, commit your works unto the Lord, trust in him, and he will what? Bring it to pass.
Yes, yes.
So what you're doing, you should be doing it as unto the Lord.
Amen.
You ever sin and say, I'm going to commit this act unto you, Lord? No, I can't. It's hard to say, I'm going to lie for you, God. I'm going to cheat just a little bit for you, Lord. You can't do that because he's not in that, right?
No, that's right.
So when you commit your works, your works have to be in line with what? His works.
Yes.
They have to match up. They have to mirror up.
Yes.
So we talked about one major area of hindrance to our commitment level is when we get offended.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, when you get offended at someone, anybody ever been offended before?
Yes.
Yeah.
You have really, you kind of break off relationships and you build this wall. Now, we're not talking about the southern border wall. We're talking about this wall in your mind or this wall that's in your heart.
Yeah.
Right? Why? Because you got offended. You took offense. And when you become offended, you know, there is no joy. You lose your joy. You can get angry. In fact, we looked at some scriptures where when Jesus was preaching one time, he preached on communion. And it says that people got offended at what he said. And then he said, does this offend you? How about this? And he gives them part two. And it says many of them turned around and followed him no more.
Yeah.
You think they made the right decision?
No.
No. And sometimes we could get offended because we don't understand something. Right? We don't have the whole picture. Or we lack some knowledge. You know, I remember when I was in school, something that was, everybody looked at it like you're putting people down. They go, you're just ignorant. You're ignorant. And you think ignorant means dumb. But it doesn't. It means what? You don't know something about that area.
Yeah.
So if someone said I was ignorant, I said, oh, okay, well then tell me what I don't know. And if the Lord said, hey, you're ignorant of this, like he did in Corinthians, he said, don't be ignorant of spiritual gifts. Don't be ignorant. He's not putting people down. He's saying, you need to get some knowledge about this.
Amen.
You know, ignorance is not a blessing. Is it? No? And that saying, what you don't know can't hurt you. No one could kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
If you didn't know that stop sign was there, when you were driving, that could cause you a big problem. Mm-hmm. That could hurt you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So we talked about that. And then last week we talked about repentance.
Yes, yes.
And how people think repentance is a really bad word. And that it has to do with our actions. But we discovered it's more than actions, it's what? Attitude. We have to repent based on our attitude towards something. You know, it's like saying, Lord, I'm never going to eat a chocolate cake again because I'm on a diet. And then you go to the store, you know, like, say Costco, they got this chocolate cake.
Yes, yes.
Like, I mean, it looks really nice. And I could say, I'm just going to buy it and take it home. I'm not going to eat it. I just want to look at it. Or if I have people come over, they might want some. And so then you just start reading the label. And you think, well, I want to just taste it to make sure it's fresh in case somebody comes over and eats it. And then you take a bite and think, well, I need a little bit better sample. And then what happens? I started, I might as well finish the whole thing. I'm sorry, God, I said I wouldn't do that. And then you repent, you cry, and you feel bad because you ate too much and all that. And then what do you do next week? When you forget about that feeling, you do it again.
Yeah.
You're like, why do I keep doing this?
Right.
I repented.
Right.
No, your attitude hasn't changed.
That's right.
You may not have liked the feeling that it brought. That's why you felt bad, because of the feeling. Mm-hmm. But your attitude toward the thing didn't change. Mm-hmm. So what happens? You do it again.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And how does this impact your commitment? Well, you keep doing it over and over, then the enemy brings condemnation, and then you feel like, well, what's the use?
Okay.
I might as well just quit. Mm-hmm. I might as well just give up. Because I can never stop this thing, which isn't true, but that's what he tells you, because you're repenting over an action, which the action isn't the problem. You know, how many times you were ever sorry because you got caught? But if you could have done it without getting caught, you would have done it real big. Right? No, don't get me surprised. You know, that's how people are.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If I could have done this, I mean, I think about when I was a kid, we didn't have cameras everywhere. So I would have done things, but the real thing I didn't want to do was because I always thought God was going to get me. God's going to get me. And it wasn't like, I even tried sometimes to make these plans, and yet, like, okay, for example, this is a good story. I went out, a friend of mine said, hey, why don't you come over, we're going to have a party. Okay, sounds good. So I took my dad's car, he said I could use it. He said, where are you going? I said, I'm just going out. And then I had to drive a while. Now this is back before cell phones, right? I know it seems like a long time ago, but it wasn't. And so I couldn't find his exact address. I stopped at this big mall, parked the car, went in, used the phone, got the address, got the directions, and I came out. I couldn't find my car.
Oh, no.
I mean, it was in the parking lot. I couldn't find it. And I'm in a hurry because I want to get what? To the party.
Yeah.
But I can't find my car. Oh, my God, this is not funny. I am trying to go to a party that I know I shouldn't be at. Can you please help me? It took me like an hour and a half to 2 hours to find my car. And by that time, I had to be home.
The party was over.
Party was over. And I was so disappointed with God. Lord, I was just trying to have some fun. Couldn't you help me out? No, it couldn't help me out. It's hard to pray that way. Now, I was pretty young, but I also knew, you know, when I look back, I'm so thankful, what? That he was trying to protect me.
Yes.
Amen.
And so my repentance would be, Lord, I'm sorry for thinking that way. Not that you were trying to prevent me from having fun. No, you were trying to keep me what? Safe.
That's right.
Amen.
And I'm thankful that there wasn't cell phones at that time. Amen?
Yeah. Yes.
So we talked about that. We talked about even the prodigal son, when he repented, that's when things became better.
Yeah.
It wasn't just that he said, I want to go home to Father's house. He's like, see, we think about this. When you repent, or you could use the word reform, you're thinking about something, that's when you really can get free of anything. See, it's not the action that the Lord's trying to deal with. It's the mind, the mindset, mm-hmm. what's in our head, mm-hmm. right? It's changing the way you think about something. That's how you get free. It's not just stopping the behavior, because once you know, you can stop the behavior, but in your head, you're thinking about doing it all the time. So you're not really free. Like I could be, if I understood, okay, this is why I don't do the chocolate cake. I'm just using that as an example. I could not eat chocolate cake, but I could be thinking about it all the time, which means I'm not free. I'm not enjoying life because it's still controlling me.
Yeah.
But once I get free in my thinking about it, then I can really start to enjoy life. We can think sin is really fun, but once we experience the consequences of it, we think, wait, that wasn't right. That was the wrong thinking. Like when I went to my party, so that I never made it to. That's happened more than once to me. So one time I was going to go somewhere and there was this huge rainstorm. Everything got flooded. I'm like, are you joking me? Seriously, Lord? Are you kidding? You couldn't just help me out here. I can't rebuke the wind and the rain because I want to do my own thing.
That's right, yeah.
That's hard.
That's right, yeah.
Not realizing he's trying to what?
Protect
me. Because
yes.
He cares about me.
Yes.
So we looked at that. We looked at that repentance,
yes.
Doctor.
Yes.
So today we're going to look at Luke 10, mm-hmm. and this one has to do with priorities, right? What keeps us from being committed to one thing is, you could say in a sense, it has to do with what do we make a priority
yeah.
in our life. And as the song we were singing, don't look back. Looking back isn't going to help you with your future
mm-hmm.
commitments, because you know, someone goes, I wish I lived back in this day. And you think in your mind it's going to be the best, because you only think of the good things. You don't think of all the not so good things.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're walking with the Lord, don't look at your past mistakes, because you didn't know some things then. Don't let the enemy bring you down. Don't let him condemn you. What should you do? You realize, okay, the Lord forgave you of that, but going forward, I'm going to make this commitment to him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make this, I'm going to acknowledge this in my mind on purpose,
mm-hmm.
intentionally. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So look at Luke, we'll look at Luke 10. This to me is it can happen, you know, in a very subtle way. It can happen, when I say in a subtle way, from the standpoint of sometimes the enemy brings things into our lives and we don't realize he's after our commitment level, so that he can get us to be weak. You know, for example, one thing you have to really encourage yourself in is to be joyful. I was teasing Marjorie, she's smiling. Well, why are you smiling? This is church. You shouldn't be happy here. It's church. We shouldn't be happy. Well, if you can't be happy in church, there's a really big problem.
Amen.
Because the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your
strength.
If you have no joy, and of course sin robs you of your joy, then you have no strength. Then you can't stand and you can't withstand him.
That's right.
So even in your serving the Lord, you should do so with what? Joy.
Yes.
Amen.
And this is, when I think about commitment, sometimes I think, now this is just me, remember I told you last week about how my mother discovered, in one sense, she was so shocked that She may be part Native American.
Yeah.
She's like, she's shocked. Her whole life she heard, you know, I was trying to explain to her as a kid, Mom, if Grandma grew up on Red Lake, Red Lake is called Red Lake because only American Indians lived on Red Lake.
Yeah.
You couldn't be white and live on Red Lake.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's like, I just was never told that my whole life. I'm like, well, now you know. Now we know something else.
Yeah.
It's okay. And see, if I was thinking about this. If you realize, if you recognize that God really can't stand the color thing that people place people in because it categorizes them. Like, you know, I tell my wife, I might look white, but I'm not bright white. And I'm not white white. I have friends who are a lot whiter than me. Right? But I was telling her, I don't think like the white guy thinks. I think different.
Yeah, you think Asian.
I think different than white. Because
yeah.
I don't really see myself as white. Like, I don't see myself as a white European. I don't see myself as a white cowboy. I don't see myself in that way. Why? Just like someone said, well, they're black. Well, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Or they're this color. What is that? Like, you can't say all Asians are the same. You could start another war. Right?
You would.
So someone said, where do you live? I said, I live in Hong Kong. They go, I love Japan.
I'm like,
it's not Japan, buddy. Two different places. But what happens is you get categorized.
Yeah.
And the enemy's always trying to divide.
Yeah.
Making you think you're not like everybody else, and they're not like you. Where the really thing you got to look out for is culture.
Yeah.
Because I'll say people like white, they don't think the same. They don't have the same culture. They have different traditions. You could take that Hispanic, you could take that black, you could take that all the way across the board. And God looks at it from a biblical cultural view.
Yeah.
You look through scripture, he is not into color.
No, he's not.
Not at all.
Mm-mm.
It's like if I cut myself, I'm going to bleed red just like everybody else.
That's right.
I'm not going to have white blood. No one's going to have yellow blood if you're Asian. Or darker blood. I mean, you understand.
Yeah.
So when you get rid of that,
right,
you realize, hey, we're people.
That's right.
And this is about culture. It's not about category. Because if you start looking at people, well, then you start to define them based on a category, not the commitment level to someone.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, you know, if I was white, then when you go next, say, okay, all the people with a lot of hair on their head move over here, and the people without move over there. And then, what color are your eyes? Let's go by that. How tall are you? How much do you weigh? How many categories are you going to have to put people in?
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
So when you think, what color is Jesus? Who cares? He's every color.
That's right.
Amen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we want to identify, if you're going to identify, the culture. What do they believe?
Yeah.
What is their culture? Do they believe in Jesus? This is the important thing.
Yes.
It's not, what do they look like?
That's right.
Amen?
Yeah.
So my mom, I said, I talked to her about that. She, you know, think about it. Her whole life, she thought she was white. And she might be part white, but she's also part red. My mom says, like, no, she's 70 years old. Think about if you thought something for 70 years.
Wow.
And then you were wrong. I mean, 17 years, that's one thing. 70 years is another.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Say, well, hey, Mom, you're saved.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. All right, so look at this. Luke chapter 10. And Let's start with verse 38. It says, it came to pass as they went, they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at the feet of Jesus and heard his word. Mm-hmm. So, Martha, Jesus is preaching. He's on this crusade. Martha meets up with him. She invites him into her house. Right? She receives him. Say, hey, come to my house. And she has a sister named Mary, where Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and was listening to him, what? Teach. Mm-hmm. And Martha was cumbered, it says, or she was distressed about all the serving she had to do. And she came to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Mm-hmm. Tell her, therefore, to come and help me. Mm. Now, this is interesting because when we're talking about commitment, Martha invites Jesus into her house, right? Jesus, come into my house and you can preach there. And there's probably other people there. And that her sister, Mary, is doing what? Sitting at his feet. That means she's close. Mm. And she's listening to Jesus preach. Mm. Now, Martha is trying to get all the food ready. Mm-hmm. Yeah? She's got, I got to cook, got to clean. Mm-hmm. A lot of people here want to make a good impression. Got to do the right thing. Got to go get the firewood. There's no microwaves, you understand. She's got to cook it. Wait for the water to boil. You understand?
Yeah.
She's doing all these things. She's the chopping. She's the cooking. She's trying to prepare all this food. And as she's cooking, what's going through her mind? Why am I here by myself? She's looking out the door. Mary, get back here, Mary. Get over here. Mary's just paying attention to what Jesus is preaching.
Yeah.
And Martha gets upset. She just can't take it anymore. So while Jesus is preaching, think about this.
Oh.
While Jesus is preaching,
wow.
Martha walks out there because it's her house. Uh-huh. I'll show her.
Wow.
She says, Jesus,
oh my.
I'm back here slaving. Well, this sister of mine, this no good sister Mary, she's not doing anything but listening to you.
Wow.
Basically.
Wow.
And then Jesus, you tell her to get back there right now.
Wow.
Hey, what happened? Wait a minute here. Where is the respect?
Amen. That's right. Amen. That's right.
Well, think about this.
Yeah.
You invite this guest into your house,
uh-huh.
and then you start working to help him,
uh-huh.
serve the people. He's preaching. You think, okay, what an honor. I get to receive God's word into my house. But the very word that you received now has what? Offended you.
Yeah.
Because other people aren't paying attention to you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They're paying attention to him.
Yeah.
And now all the work or the labor falls on what? On you.
Yeah. Mm.
It's like one time we had this, we wanted to help people in the church with oil changes in their cars. Especially all the ladies, you know. So I remember we said, okay, well, we'll give like free oil changes, you know, for people. And I remember in particular, most of the cars weren't so bad, but this one guy had a car. And I'm like, you're not a single mother. You're like retired military, man. You don't even have any kids. I mean, but he had these air shocks, kind of like, and I'm trying to get him, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm supposed to just be doing the oil change. And it caused some problems. And I remember the very people I'm out trying to help be a blessing to, I end up getting mad at. Because they didn't fit the category. Right? I'm upset with them. So I got to repent, change my attitude. Right?
Yeah.
Not just my action, but my attitude toward what I'm doing. So here, Mary's just paying attention to the word. Martha gets upset. And she says, I mean, I can't really imagine her going up there and telling Jesus while he's preaching, hey, stop the show.
Wow.
I need help, and I want this one right here, the one that's really close to you, who's fake paying attention to the word just so she don't have to help me.
Oh.
I need her to come back and help me cook.
Uh-oh.
Here's what Jesus says, right? Now, I do know this. If you place, it's not good. He said, Peter. And this one's Martha. He said, Martha, you have anxiety and trouble about many things. And he didn't say just a couple things.
Wow.
He said what? Many things. You're troubled about a lot.
Wow.
He said, but this one thing that Mary has chosen was needful, and it's the good part.
Wow.
Now this is where it gets really interesting, because the very fact that Martha started out, she received the word, but just because everything in her life didn't go perfect, she gets what? Offended and angry.
Yeah.
And the very word she received with joy, she starts getting angry at, because her situation didn't immediately, you know, she was under some pressure and some things had to happen. She felt alone. She felt like, what's the use? I'm serving God here. Nobody cares. I'm all by myself. She wasn't. But what should Martha have been doing? Martha should have been sitting at the feet of Jesus with her sister.
Listening
to what he was saying.
Yes.
Now, this is where, to me, you know, sometimes we can try to get busy on purpose so we don't have to hear the word, so we can justify what we're doing. Mm-hmm. Has anybody ever done that?
Yeah.
Like, I want to volunteer in church so I don't have to sit in the church service. I'm going to go check on the kids. I don't mean that, you know, someone went to go check on the kid. I don't mean that. What I'm saying is, everybody starts leaving to check on the kids, right? Or like before, when they flash someone's number, like for the children's nursery up on the board, it's like, hey, that parent, there's only one kid that was flashed. Why did four parents leave? Do you understand? Sometimes it's so much more difficult, and you have to pay attention to the word. It takes a lot more energy and focus and purposefulness to pay attention to what the word says and to do it than it does to be busy about serving. Because when you're serving, you're just busy. Your mind's just focusing on what it's doing.
Yes.
And you're forgetting, hey, I have a purpose. I'm supposed to be paying attention to hear the word so that the word can change my life.
Yes.
Rather than just serving, which is nothing wrong with serving, but when it takes the place of the word and you never get the word, then your serving is to whom?
That's right.
Are you serving him, or are you serving yourself? This is kind of subtle, because the enemy will say, look, you have a right to be offended too, because nobody knows what you're going through. Those kids are not easy. Mm-hmm. This cooking is not easy. You know how many cakes you have to make? How much bread you have to bake? Oh, Martha, you shouldn't have to endure this. You go out there and tell them right now. So she did. It got worse. He said, yeah, you troubled about many things.
Wow.
So it wasn't even this issue.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know, sometimes when you get mad at God, you can blame him for something in your life, but there's many things that you gotta work on.
Yes,
good.
It's not that one thing.
That's good.
And if you would hear the word,
yeah,
he could help you get those things straightened out.
Yes, yes.
So it's not so many things anymore.
Right.
Yes. Martha, Mary understands she's got problems. She knows my problems aren't gonna get better unless I hear the word.
Yes.
Unless I commit to hearing his word.
Yeah.
I don't wanna become so busy, you know, doing God's, quote, work, that I spend no time with the God I'm supposed to be working for.
Mm, mm.
That would be bad.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I told you last week, if I bought my daughter some toy or something, and she spent all her time with her doll and never wanted to talk to me, I'm going to go Chucky on that doll. Doll is going to be dead. It's gone. I don't want nothing between me and my daughter.
That's right.
She's supposed to enjoy that thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
She can enjoy it, but why should it take the place of me?
Right.
You know, we can serve the Lord, but it should take the place of you spending time with Him.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
And you know how often, we might as well just go deeper. Go deeper. Yeah,
go deeper.
If God's blessing you, your blessing shouldn't draw you away from Him.
That's right.
That's right.
It shouldn't mean like, well, I can't come to church or spend any time in the Word because I'm too busy because of all His blessings. No. No.
Yeah.
No. Look at your neighbor and say no.
No.
Not true. Why? Because that's hindering my commitment to Him.
Yeah.
It shouldn't take me away from Him. It should draw me closer to Him.
Yes, amen.
You know, like, you know how many times I've heard God bless me with a new car?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? What does that mean? Well, that means that's my blessing, and so I can't give anything to the Lord. Because I have to pay for it.
No.
So you mean your tithe is involved in your Tesla? You're driving a Tesla that came from God, but now you can't give anything to God because all your Tesla is your tithe. That's what you're worshiping.
Wow.
Right?
Come on, preach it.
It just started with a T. That's why.
Yeah.
I mean, Tahoe, that doesn't quite matter. Could be Toyota. I guess that's a T too. But what am I saying? Is if God's blessing you, do not allow that blessing or that whatever you're doing to interfere with your relationship with Him and your time and your talent, right? And your thought life.
Yes.
Those things should not draw you away from your commitment to Him.
Right.
It should increase you. So now, the reason I think about this is because my daughter says, Dad, can I get a new doll? I'm like, how will I get a new doll, Dad? It's expensive, Dad. I'm like, yeah, that's one reason you're going to have to wait. Not just because it's expensive, but you got to take care of the dolls you have.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
When you can demonstrate you're thankful
yes,
and responsible for the dolls you have, then you can increase.
Yes, amen.
But if you can't do that, well, as a good father, I don't want to give you more to be responsible for when you're not responsible for what you already have. So if the Lord said, hey, I want you to go to Bible study. I want you to do this. What should you do? Yes, sir. I want to hear your word. You can't say, I have no time because I got problems. I got things. He understands that. He's trying to correct your problems.
Yes, amen.
Amen? He's trying to get you aligned with His plan and His purpose so that you can, enjoy life.
That's right.
But if we don't do that, man, we have a problem. So Martha, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would say Margie, but that's not scripture. This is what he said. One thing she has chosen, she chose the good part. So if she chose the good part, what did Martha choose? The not so good part.
Right?
And this part won't be taken away from her. So you realize, hey, man, God's trying to get more to you. He's trying to get you to be more blessed. But He wants your commitment level
Amen.
To put Him, first and foremost.
Amen.
Your priority has to say, Lord, I'm thankful for all the things You've done for me.
Yeah.
I'm so thankful.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I want to honor You. And if I'm serving You, He said, okay, what I want you to do is don't just be out there. I want you to be listening to My word.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
How we can honor Him.
Yes.
Amen. Revelation chapter 2. Revelations chapter 2. Now, here's a really big principle. When you look through Scripture, it says this. Well, here's what they said. I kind of like keeping up on science, health-related topics, things like that. And they said this. They've discovered now that your eyes, you actually absorb light. Whether you absorb good light or bad light, you're an absorption of what you look at. So what you look at, you will eventually look like.
Mm.
What you feed on, what you look at, you will want, you'll desire, or you'll feed on, right? So when Jesus talks about if your light is darkness, how great is that darkness?
Mm-hmm.
If you're always looking at the wrong thing, you're going to desire what? The wrong thing. And if I'm never really reading the Word, then I won't desire the Word.
That's good.
If I'm only looking at chocolate cakes, you know, you can get free of anything.
Yeah.
Anything.
Yes.
Just fast from it. Because then the desire for that thing will what? Go away.
Yeah.
Because you're not, whatever you're looking at is what you're going to want. It's mm-hmm. what you're going to desire. It's what you're going to look like eventually if you look at it long enough. Amen? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Revelations 2.
That's good.
Now, verse 1 says, unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things he said that hides the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Now, this is interesting because it's talking about Jesus, and it says that he walked in the middle of the candlesticks, and that these candlesticks were representative of not just kind of candle. Did you ever see a movie where they have a little candle that they hold like this,
mm-hmm.
and it has a little light on the end, like a little lamp?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a movie in the past, they go, give me the lamp. It's not a candle this way. It's just like a little platter, a handle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the interesting thing they said about these candlesticks is they were all custom made. No two were alike. They were made out of clay, which represents the earth, which you are made out of clay.
Yeah.
And that he walked in the midst of these candlesticks. It said that he didn't only go around the outside of the church, but he went inside the church.
Wow.
Up and down the aisles, see what was going on. Speaking of Jesus, right? He says this, I know your works and your labor, your patience, and how you cannot stand those which are evil. And you have tried them which said they are apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be liars. Well, this is interesting because Ephesus here was the biggest church. They set up anywhere from 50,000 to 100,000 members.
Wow.
Big church.
Big church.
Right? So Jesus is observing. He's going up and down. He's looking at what's going on. And he says, I know your works. And they said, these guys had so much stuff going on. They were the biggest church in Asia. Of the seven churches, they helped funnel and feed the other six, right?
Mm.
And he says, I know your patience, and you try those who say they're apostles and they're not, and you found them to be liars.
Wow.
So they'd have these meetings, it's like someone said, I'm an apostle. They go, prove it. They didn't take anyone's word for it. No credit here,
uh-uh.
Right?
Yeah, that's right.
But look what he says. Verse 3, he says, I have seen your patience and your labor for my sake, and you have not fainted. Nevertheless, I have something against you, because you have left your first love.
Mm-hmm.
Now this is interesting because this church they got so many works going on. They have feed the homeless programs, build this, building church. They got so much going on.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus says, you got one thing I got against you. But this against you, this is a big thing. You left your first love.
Mm.
Meaning you got all these works going on and you're doing all these things, but you got no time for me.
Wow.
You forgot I'm the one that's wanting you to work these works.
Yeah.
Well, who are you doing it for? We're doing it for you. Well, would you just stop and spend some time with me so we can talk about it?
Wow.
It's similar to, you know, say a parent. They're so busy getting stuff for their kids. The kid's like, I don't want the stuff. I just want you.
Nice.
I can't. I got no time. I'm too busy for you.
Mm-hmm.
And vice versa, mm-hmm. right? Have we become so busy for the Lord that we're doing His works in His name, but we're not spending time with Him?
Yeah.
Wow.
This is what He says.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like if I, like when I first got married, I used to think about my wife all the time.
Aww.
And what happens if I'm not careful?
Mm-hmm.
I could get so busy because she says she needs this and she needs that. right? I'm not home as much. I'm thinking about what I got to do for her, that I'm not spending any time with her.
Yeah, come on.
I'm saying, well, I'm doing this for you. It's like, no, you're not.
That's right. Come on.
So next time she asked me, I said, no, I'm doing this for you. You understand? You said, I'm serving the Lord. And the Lord says, no, you're not. Because you're not even talking with me.
Yes.
You're on auto mode.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be bad if the only time I ever looked at my Bible was before I came up here?
Yeah.
And what kind of pastor are you, man? That's kind of hypocritical. You don't read your Bible at all. Wouldn't that be wrong?
Yeah.
It's not wrong because, I mean, it's wrong in the sense you would expect more of me. You say, we should have a relationship with the Lord.
Yes.
Then I would say, so should you. Right? Should we?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like, I'm a Christian, but I don't want to be a Christian in name.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be a Christian in my relationship with Him,
That's right.
Who is like Christ.
Yes.
And if I can change my attitude,
yes.
Not my action, because my action will follow my attitude.
That's right.
Yes.
That's
right?
Yes.
Yes.
You know, Judas committed suicide, it says, not because he was really sorry in his thinking, because of the guilt he was feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, godly sorrow causes us to change.
Yes.
Worldly sorrow just brings more death.
Yeah.
So here you see Martha, she's all offended. Because why? She's supposed to be serving, but she's got the wrong heart, the wrong motive.
Mm-hmm.
Her purpose isn't right. It gets off. She welcomes him, but then she's complaining to him. It's like, Lord, I want you in my life, but just don't tell me what to do. So here in Ephesians, the Lord said this to the church at Ephesus. He said, hey, I know your works. They're all great. All that's great. But this one thing you've left. You've left your first love.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like I used to be excited. I get to read my Bible. Lord, I'll meet you at noon for prayer. You get all excited. Oh, it's going to be at noon. When we did have payphones, you know, back in the day, you didn't have cell phones again. So when we were first married, I wasn't in the 8-track era. I was way past that. I was in the cassette era, though. Cassette tape. But I remember I called my wife, or she called me. I'm at a payphone. Got to get my money, put it in. Come on. And as long as I didn't get the answer machine, because, you know, if the answer machine came on, then you lose your 35 cents or 25 cents. So you got to hang up after three rings. You know, three rings hang up. Get your money out. Three rings hang up. Trying to get a hold of her. But I'd be so excited to talk to her and hear her voice. And if that changed, then I said, what happened, honey? Why don't we feel that way anymore?
Aww.
Right? What about with the Lord?
Yeah.
You'd be
yeah.
so excited. He forgave me. He cleansed me. I want to live for Him.
Yes.
Then after a period of time, you go, well, my Bible's somewhere. I don't need it. I don't need it anyway.
Uh-oh.
Yeah,
come on,
Pastor.
Uh-oh.
And he says, what? Repent.
Yes.
You know, repentance isn't a bad word. He's, Jesus preached repentance his whole ministry. Change the way you're thinking about something. So he said, you've left your first love. Make that right again. Because your works won't matter if your love for Him isn't there.
That's right.
Amen? So this should be a joyful message.
Yeah, yes.
But I go quit church. I get beat up every time I go there. I ain't going back. No, it's about making adjustments.
Yes, yes.
Right? If I'm on the highway, I got to make adjustments.
Yes, amen.
Yeah.
Especially get away from the people texting and putting on makeup at the same time. Right?
Yeah.
I got to make an adjustment. Move away from them.
Yeah.
Right? So in our heart, make that adjustment.
Yes.
Whatever the Lord's calling you, maybe He's just calling, hey, let's renew our commitment.
Yes.
Yes.
Change the way we think about this.
Amen.
Why? I don't care about the past. He don't. The past is under the blood. It's redeemed.
Yes.
Amen. He said, what are we going to do going forward here? So just make that adjustment or that commitment. Just realign that commitment. That's all you got to do. It's not hard. It's not a hard thing. And he said here, and I think it's great because he says, just remember. Remember that first time, how you loved him? Get back there again.
Yes.
Get excited about reading the Bible.
Yes.
You know, you don't have to be like, you know, John 3:16. I heard that before. You know, I start reading again, you go like, for God, God, the creator of the universe, God, so loved the world. Well, that's me. I'm in the world that he gave. Think about it. Don't just quickly go through it, right? Hear the word, embrace the word, love the word, and renew your commitment to him, your
Amen.
Allegiance, your
yeah.
the thing you devoted to. Amen?
Yeah.
All right, we'll close in prayer. That was a good place to say amen.
Yes, yes, yes.
Two hands, hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you for today. We thank you for your goodness and mercy, that you care about us, that you have a plan and a purpose for our life. Lord, and that you want us to be fully engaged and fully committed to you because of love, because you care, because you want our needs met. You want us to live a life that's productive and fruitful and protected, Lord, that's full of provision. So, Lord, we purpose in our heart to make adjustments and changes that we need to make, not to get so busy working in life, thinking we're working for you, but yet we're nowhere close to your feet or to hearing your word. But help us just to make that change, to elevate our thinking like you think about us. Not just so an emotional thing, Lord, but a decision that actually comes from the heart. That we purpose in our heart to be more committed, Lord, and more dedicated to you and to your plan and your purpose, so that we can enjoy and achieve all that you called us to in this earth at this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay. Tony? We're going to go ahead and take up the offering as Tony has the message.